Do you feel that? I feel it. I feel God has blessed me with a full stomach. He has increased the temperature in the world. And somebody stole an hour of your time. That is the trifecta of problems for a preacher. I recognize that it's difficult to concentrate and to focus when you've just eaten, you're full, it's warm, and you are tired. So we're going to try to keep this message simple. We're going to try to keep it fairly quick. But we're going to focus on what Jesus had to teach about prayer. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.'" And so here we have this wonderfully vague question. Jesus, teach us to pray. And there's all sorts of things in the Bible about the subject of prayer, but this disciple kept it vague, and that's wonderful, because now it is up to Jesus to decide, here's what I want you to understand about prayer. And in this response, he gives us three basic points, three basic messages, and there's lots of details within them. But I just want us to understand what's there. But before we get into that, I want you to consider what we learn about the question the apostles just asked, what it teaches us about them. One, it teaches us that they were impressed with how Jesus was praying. Because it is as Jesus is praying, it says when he finished, that's when they say, I want to do that. What he can do, I want to be able to do. Prayer is really an intimidating thing. It's something that some of you have just grown up, and since you were a little kid, your parents taught you to pray. Some people, that's not been the case, and when they become Christians, it's intimidating. How do I do this? How do I go to God? What if I say the wrong thing? Well, they were impressed by the way Jesus prayed, and so they asked. And it tells me that they wanted access to God. And this really wasn't supposed to all show up at one time so I could keep you focused, because that's what I'm trying to do, focus on one thing at a time. You know, the disciples, we see them as saying, I want to be the greatest. I want to be the top guy in the kingdom. But it's so beautiful for them to ask this question then, to show us that they're about more than just greatness in the kingdom, about power. They wanted a relationship with God. There is this other possibility, and I choose to believe the second more than this third possibility, and that one is that they were caught up in the discipleship competition. You like to think that wasn't the case, but the scriptures reveals there was discipleship competition. Who was baptizing more? In John chapter 3, there's this big issue that Jesus starts baptizing more people than John. And so they go to John the Baptist and say, don't you see he's baptizing more than you? And in John chapter 4, it says verse 1, it says that the Pharisees found out Jesus was baptizing more than John. And then there's another time where the disciples of John come up to Jesus and his disciples and say, hey, the Pharisees and we fast more than you guys. What's going on? And did you notice how the question was worded here? In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Perhaps there's a little bit of this competition going on between the various discipleship. We have the greatest discipleship. We're the winners. Of course, John didn't go for that. John said, he must increase, I must decrease. Jesus didn't go for that because Jesus said, that man over there, he's the greatest man that has been born of woman. And he had many great things to say about them. But sometimes we get caught up in foolishness. But anyway, the question's been asked. Teach us to pray. And here's what Jesus is going to answer. First thing he's going to answer is, what to pray. He's going to get into, what should you talk about in your prayer? And so he gives what is referred to as the model prayer. If you'll notice, it's not exactly the same as the other model prayer. If you go to Matthew chapter 6 and you have Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, here's what you should say, and he gives a model prayer. It's very similar, but there are differences. And some people get caught up in trying to say this exact prayer and they're missing the point because we will not see this prayer again. We'll see Jesus pray. He'll never pray this. Not that we see. We'll see the apostles pray. We'll see the disciples pray. We will never see this actually prayed. We'll only see it taught. And so we understand it to be the model prayer, an example, a pattern for us. It gives us the basic elements. Here's what you should pray about. So what should we pray about? First off, praise. Starts off in verse 2, says, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. There is no name on earth like yours. There is no one like you. And so our prayers are our opportunity for us to declare to God how great He is. Marriage counselors will tell you that one of the things that really helps you in a marriage is to take the time to compliment your spouse. This is what part of what prayer is. It's an opportunity for us to compliment God, to declare His greatness. The next step was a desire for God's will or His authority when He says, your kingdom come in Matthew chapter 6, thy will be done on heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. It's the same basic idea. It is, may you be victorious over the hearts and the minds of the people. May your will be accomplished here. And as we live in a world and a society where God's will is being ignored, being defied, and being vilified, this is a good thing for us to pray. For us to counter that in our prayers by begging God, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. The third thing that he is prayed for then, now in verse 3, says, give us each day our daily bread. And so then we get into the requests now. And so now the prayer is, go ahead and tell God what you would like. And we start off with our physical needs. And he says here, with our physical needs being regards to food, on a daily basis we ask for food. The next thing is a spiritual need, because he goes on in verse 4, he says, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And so you'll notice there are two different types of spiritual needs that Jesus says, when you pray, this is what you should do. You should pray about your past spiritual needs. That is, I have done something wrong and I need a solution. Please forgive me. And your future spiritual needs, and that is, lead me not into temptation. I've already done something wrong. Please forgive me for that. As I continue through life, please help me not do it again. Lead me not into temptation. But this is your prayer. This is the very basic thing. Praise God, ask that God's will be done, and ask God for the things that you need, physically and spiritually. There's a fourth thing there, and that may be a little bit harder to see, because if you'll notice, we ran to the end of the prayer. The fourth thing is a recognition of self, and it is infused within this prayer. There is a humility of our need for God to provide for us daily. We turn to God for food, recognizing that it's not our job, it's not our money, it's not our great skills or our great wisdom. We need God to give us the food. In addition, there's a recognition of our own sins and our need for mercy. And so the person says, forgive us of our sins. We come to God with a realization, not of our greatness, but of our weakness and of our flaws. The third one, in regards to our recognition of self, and this is something that I'll tell you, I don't typically do in my prayers, but Jesus is teaching it right here, and that is, it's okay to be aware of your own deeds of good. In this particular case, it's deeds of mercy. Now you have to be careful about that, because in Luke chapter 18, Jesus is going to tell us a parable about this Pharisee and the tax collector. And in Luke chapter 18 and verse 10, Jesus says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. If you go into the context, you find out his prayer was an absolute waste of time, did not accomplish anything. So what's the difference between a guy who says, I am thankful for how great I am and for all the things that I do, versus somebody who says, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Can you see the distinction, the difference? One was comparing themselves and saying, I am better than everyone else. The other, in this very context, was saying, I am the same as everyone else. I need forgiveness just as I have given forgiveness. I have made mistakes. While the other one is saying, I am so much better than all these other people. But there is a place in our prayers to be aware of the things we've done right. And go back to this idea we talked about this morning, a little bit of this golden rule. Why would God listen to you if you do not listen to others? If you do not listen to Him? In this case, why would God show mercy to you if you do not show mercy to others? We reason with God. In your prayers, it is okay to reason with Him and say, I have done this. Please do the same for me. I have shown mercy. Show me mercy. So this is what Jesus has taught, right? Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. They said, teach us to pray. And he said, all right, this is what you say. He's not done. Because the subject of prayer continues on from this point. So in verse 5, he says, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And so the next thing that Jesus teaches them about is the necessity of persistence in prayer. He's told them, here's what you should pray, here's how you should pray it. And he teaches them about persistence. And so there's right there in verse 8, is because of his persistence. It wasn't because he was friends. It was because he was persistent. Jesus will teach the same thing back in Luke chapter 18. And verse 1, when he wants them to understand this about prayer. So what's it say? It says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling. But afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? And so Jesus teaches the same basic message. Persist. Keep doing it. He's actually not done if you're back in Luke chapter 11. So in verse 8, he says, here's this parable, very similar to what we saw in Luke 18. Here's this parable that says, you just keep praying and you keep asking and the persistence will work. And then he goes on in verse 9, he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. And so really what Jesus is saying is, you want to know how to pray? Here's the grand secret of prayer. Do it. Pray. Keep praying. Keep persistently, over and over praying. You want to know the secret to pray? Ask. Seek. Knock. You know what Jesus just gave you permission to do? He gave you permission to be annoying. Is that not true? Is that not the parable both times? And here in Luke 11 and there in Luke 18? There have been times when I have not learned that lesson where I do not pray to God because I don't want to bother him with what seems so trivial to me, little things that I really shouldn't care that much about. Why should I bother praying to God about those things? But you know what Jesus is teaching us? If something's on your mind, pray. And keep praying. Day and night. Keep doing it. And the persistence will pay off. Jesus has given us permission to be annoying. You know, it's like children. When you go to the shopping store, the shopping store. Yes, that particular one. When you go to the store, there's this kid that's like, I want that, and 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 they just keep doing that. I hear them, and I get annoyed, and they're not even my kids. And I know that the parents get annoyed, and they get bothered by just constantly asking, and we think, oh, if only kids would stop doing that. But here's what Jesus is saying is, that's exactly what we should do with God. Keep asking him. Now, there are other lessons that say we should be careful about what we're asking for. There are other lessons about selfishness in our prayers. But right here, Jesus is just saying, you want to know how to pray? Keep praying. You got something on your mind? You got something you're concerned about? Pray about it. Pray about it again. Pray about it again. Keep praying about it. And that gets to the third point that Jesus makes, because he's still not done. He's actually started with it in verse 8, and he's going to keep going on through it all the way down to verse 13. But that third point is, it works. It's why we pray. Because it works. So what was it? Verse 8? I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. It worked. And then he goes on in verses 9 and 10. He says, so I say to you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. And so here, as he has been teaching about this idea of persistence, he's been giving us the reason, and that is this works. Why do we pray? Because it works. And he's going to get to a more powerful point, and that is it works not because of our persistence, but because truly of God's nature as opposed to ours. And that's what he picks up to in verse 11. Now notice what Jesus is going to say about his disciples and in comparison about God. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He just called them evil. He said, you guys have flaws, you guys have problems, but even in your imperfections, you know how to give the good things to your children. You know why we pray? Because God is good. And he will give us the good things that we need. And so we pray not because of our greatness. We pray because God knows what's best and has the ability and the willingness, the desire to give us what is best. Let me get to that in a second. That does not mean that God will give you what you asked for. You may not pray for the right thing, but you will get the right thing. I'll give you an illustration. In 2 Corinthians, Paul prays that this thorn of the flesh would be removed from him. Turns out that wasn't the right thing. That's not what God felt was best for him. That thorn in the flesh, that thing that annoyed him and bothered him so much, was for his own good. Instead, he got the right thing. He prayed for the wrong thing, he got the right thing. The right thing was an understanding of the greatness of the grace that God has given. Why do we pray? Because even though we don't know what's best, we may think, well, this is what I'd like. This is what I really want. We pray because God will give us what really we need. He will give us what is best. So when the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray, here's what he said. Pray about these things. Keep praying about those things. And have great confidence because God will give you the things you need. The best things. Now I'll tell you, the end of verse 13 surprises me. Okay, so it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I don't recall too many times when I directly ask God, would you please give me the Holy Spirit? How many of you do that? Okay, so what's going on? Are we just not doing what he says to do? I actually do ask for it in a different way. Whenever I pray to God that he will lead me in the truth, that I will understand his word, what am I praying for? I am praying for the work of the Holy Spirit. Anytime you ask for God to take control in your life, to do something beneficial for you, it is the Holy Spirit who is the active force. The Holy Spirit is the one who does things for God on earth. You're praying for the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 6, we have, we want Matthew chapter 7. We're actually away from the model prayer. You'll notice that this is going to sound very, very similar and then all of a sudden different. So remember, in Luke chapter 11, we had the ask, the seek, the knock. Well, look what we start off. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Now it's possible that what happened here is why Matthew says what's good, and as opposed to Luke saying the Holy Spirit. It's possible that it is their parallels. that it is just like what we have in Colossians, where it says to be filled with the Spirit, and then in another passage it tells us to let the words of Christ richly dwell within us. Parallel passages saying one means the other, they're the same. So it could mean that he's talking about the Holy Spirit is the good things that happens in our lives. The other possibility is it's the different audience. Matthew chapter 7 is just to the general audience, general people. Luke chapter 11 was to his apostles, his disciples right there. And that could have an impact on it. I don't know. But I do get the very basic concept, and that is this. Prayer works. God hears, and God gives what is good for us. Think about that. You see Jesus pray this incredible prayer, and I'm thankful that we get to see his prayer in John chapter 17. I'm thankful for that. I would have liked to have been able to witness his prayers because it's Jesus. And then you say, I want to do that. He doesn't say you need to be really eloquent. He doesn't say you need to be really passionate. He just says this. These are the things to pray for. Praise God. Pray for his will. Pray for the things you need. Recognize who you are. Keep praying. And take comfort in this. God will give you what is right. He will give you what is best. Lord, teach us to pray. I don't know that I've met a person who really believes they pray enough. Let us pray more. Let us seek this greater relationship with God and call upon him to receive the great blessings he desires to give us. I wonder sometimes what things in my life I could have had, but I never got because I didn't bother to ask. Have you ever wondered what you've missed just because you didn't bother to pray? Let's pray more. God has good things he wants to give us. Maybe not the things we expect, maybe not the things we want necessarily, but they're truly the good things. So if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to establish this relationship with God where prayer becomes something you have as a resource, something you can and should do. If you're not a Christian, become one. Confess your faith in Jesus. Repent of your sins and be baptized into him for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, thanks be to God who will listen to that prayer of a brokenhearted who says, I've done something wrong. Please forgive me. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?